for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Praise the Lord. We want to thank God for the opportunity to be home. Ikoyi Baptist Church is home for us. And we thank God for the relationship that exists between the set man and our family. Please help me celebrate Dr. Tio E. Adeleke. His wife is away over there in Port Harcourt, but I celebrate Professor Tina Adeleke. I know she may be joining us online now. I also like to appreciate all the pastors who are lifting up the hands of Dr. Adeleke. Thank you, Reverend Babalola, Reverend Yebu, and my brother who just joined the tray. The Lord bless you really good in Jesus' name. I also like to thank all the leaders of Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for the great work you are doing. Thank you for your commitment to this cause. I know that what you are doing now, you may not know the effect until years later. You are not selfish. You are investing heavily into the kingdom of God. And this conference is all about the future of the church, not just the now of the church. And we want to thank God for the commitment of Dr. Adeleke to the head of the church. The Lord will reward you abundantly, sir, in Jesus' name. All right, I'd like us to, well, let me also celebrate my father. His father is also my father. Our daddy, Pastor Gundapo, daddy, thank you so much for being there for us at all time. We know that the Lord who has brought you thus far, he will continue to keep you going from strength to strength. Thank you for fathering us. And the Lord will reward your labor abundantly in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we want to thank you for this great conference. Thank you for our Father in the Lord, Dr. Beke, that you used to open up this conference and have been taking us from one dimension to another. Thank you, Lord God, for Dr. Rena. Thank you for Bishop Omar. Thank you for Dr. James and others that you have used in the course of this conference. Indeed, your house is the house of prayer. And thank you for the revolution. Thank you for the things that you are doing. We ask, oh God, that this last day of this meeting, let it please you, Eternal Father, to pour your heart to us in a greater dimension. Lord, last night you spoke to us that you are taking us farther. You are taking us further. Please don't allow us to stop where we are. Hold us by your right hand and take us farther and further in your purpose. This morning I pray, let your word come in the simplicity of your grace and cause our hearts to be applied to wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'll be reading this morning from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I'll read verses 10 to 18, and I'll be reading from the Passion Translation of the Bible. If you don't have passion, your prayer will be polluted. Your prayer will be stunted. And that's why passion will help to amplify God's desire for us at such a time like this. It said, now, my beloved ones, I have saved this most important truth for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us, so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you are protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a bed to strengthen you, to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert. Then you will always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wrap-around shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation full of deliverance, like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. Praise the Lord. Now, if you follow the reading, you will see that Paul was talking about the strategies of the enemy that the enemy we have to confront. It's not the enemy that wages war haphazardly. It's the enemy that is intentional. It's the enemy that is purposeful. It's the enemy that is strategic. I've been asked to speak on strategic praying for local churches. Strategic praying for local churches. The Church of Jesus Christ on earth was established on a strategic foundation. When Jesus asked his disciple in Matthew chapter 16, who do the sons of men say that I am? And they began to say different things until Peter spoke forth and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this declaration, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Therein, Jesus made it very clear that he was intentional about the establishment of his church, and also revealing the kind of strategy to back it up. You see, the prophetic agenda for the Church of Jesus Christ, even before its establishment, was a strategic prophecy. You remember in Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4, you have the same prophecy word for word. In Micah chapter 4 verse 1, it said, it shall come to pass that last day that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established above all, and then the nations will flow into it. Now, that tells us that God already had his plan that his church will be strategically positioned. Little wonder Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And Jesus was speaking to the believers, the church. I hope you know that when we are talking about the church, we are not talking about a building. We are talking about the called out people, the redeemed people. People that have been saved from sin. People that have been saved from the captivity and the dominion and the oppression of the devil. And be brought from darkness to the marvelous light. And so Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And that tells us that the church is strategically positioned. When Jesus told his disciple before he ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. It was strategic. The devil, the enemy of the church, is also strategic. How many of us know that the devil is not omnipotent and that the devil is not omnipresent? But you need to ask yourself, how come that the one that is not omnipresent, that his activities is everywhere and will make you to feel that as if he is everywhere, but he's not? The reason why his activities are everywhere is because he's very strategic. Now, the passage that we have read talks about the principalities and powers. Now, he has his agents everywhere, and he has his network firmly in control. And so that's why he can be operating in Ikoyi, operating in Via at the same time, because of his strategy. Even though he's not present everywhere, his activities are everywhere. So if the church does not arise to disorganize the strategy of the devil will disorganize the church. And we have seen that over the ages. Apostle Paul was a man of strategy in all his missionary exploits. Paul was very strategic. And so that was why he taught the church in Ephesus on strategic praying. And he told them that he had to save that as the last thing, the most important thing. And that tells us that prayer is the most important thing. You know, he began by talking about, if you read the book of Ephesians, beg your pardon, the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 to 3, reveals to us what God has done for us. What God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then chapter 4 to 6, now calls our attention to our response, our responsibilities, what we are required to do because of what Christ has already done for us. And while Paul was giving that narrative, he said, I'm saving the most important one for the last time. And I know that since Sunday, our father in the Lord, Dr. Beke, had underscored the importance of prayer again and again. So Paul, here in Ephesians chapter 6, reveal the strategy of what it means to be on the offense and what it also means to be on the defense. So what is strategic praying? I begin by looking at a strategy. A strategy is a plan or a method that you employ to achieve your desired result. A strategy is a plan or a method that you employ because you have a desired result, you know, in focus. So strategic praying, therefore, is a carefully and well-thought prayer. Carefully and well-thought-out prayer with the aim of achieving the desired results. It involves optimal use of time and resources. It involves the ultimate use of time and resources to achieve the expected outcome. So strategic prayer is a communication with God to download his plans, his purposes. I know you have heard the word download again and again in the course of this conference. That there are plans, and last night we're told about the need to have the church as the house of prayer, because there are promises that are hanging, there are prophecies that are hanging that we need to download. And except we download them, they will remain there. You know, in the course of this year, we've been pushing the issue of supernatural blessings and letting the people know that if you are a believer, your blessings are already settled. You are not going to be looking for blessing, because the scripture tells us, Apostle Paul, in the same book of Ephesians, he said, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us, not that who will bless us. He had blessed us with not some, not few, but he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But the challenge is that they are not in your house. They are in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Except you know how to engage the force of prayer to download these blessings, you can still be going around with everything that is supposed to bless him. So when we are talking about strategic prayers, it also has to do with how to engage the force of prayer to download the plans, the promises, the prophecies of God for your profiting here or not. You know, this strategic prayer involves tactics. It involves careful planning. Strategic prayer will open the church for God's direction, helping the church to know how to pray, what to pray for, and who to pray for. Because Romans chapter 8 verse 26 tells us that we don't even know how to pray. As believers, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Now, this is a seminar, so I'll be sharing some practical things with you. Now, we need to look at what are the steps to strategic praying. If a local church, we pray strategically, what are the things that the local church need to engage in doing? I remember those days when we started, and the first church I pastored, even though the church was very small and in the sitting room, but there were some people there that they seemed to know more than God. I remember that time in a local church, and I started teaching people how to pray. And one man stood up and said, this is not Baptistic. Dr. Adeleke knows what I'm talking about. He said, it's not Baptistic. What was it that was not Baptistic? That everyone does not have to pray at the same time. That you need to just wait for someone to pray, and others will say, amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. And it became an issue, because I felt like everyone should be engaged in prayer. I started teaching the people how to pray, and one man was opposed to it. And one day I look at him, I say, well, with all due respect, I know you are old enough to be my father, but let me tell you that I went to Bumosho to take the stick. So this thing that you are saying is not Baptistic. I have the stick already. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Ikoyi Baptist Church. I hope you know there are still some Baptist churches that they are still in the woods because of this thing they call Baptistic prayer. May the Lord liberate us in Jesus' name. Pastors in the house, can you wave at me? Can you wave at me? All right. I know that several of you must have grown up in First Baptist Church, Chapateri, First Baptist Church, whatever. And you know that before you start the service, God is in his holy temple. Let all the what? The silent. And then after that, people will go to sleep. If you have not grown out of that, the devil will teach you when. Because these days, Praise the Lord.
So what are the steps to strategic praying? Number one, the vision of the church for prayer should be enlarged. Enlarge the vision of the church for prayer. That the church need to know, we need to, as leaders, we should let the church know that prayer is the oxygen for our living, for our existence. People perish because they lack knowledge. And where there's no vision, people perish. Where there's no vision, the church is in trouble. So if you are going to pray strategically in a local church, you begin by enlarging the vision of the church concerning prayer. Let the people know what prayer is all about. Because sometimes our orientation can become our limitation. So that's why this kind of conference is very, very important. Where we can, you know, get to hear, you know, the word of God raw, as it should be. Enlarge the vision of the church. Number two, equip the people. Because prayer is not prayer if there are no people to pray. If people that are meant to pray do not know what it means to pray strategically, train them, teach them. And the reason why I'm doing all of this is because we're talking about strategic praying for local churches. Strategic praying for local churches. Dr. Adeleke knows what I'm talking about, you know. I know that the church does not have to be large to have principalities in the church. When you talk about principalities and power, there are representatives in the church. And one of the things we did those days, and we still do, you know, is to ensure that when Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So if you have succeeded as a principality in one Baptist church, you can't succeed as a principality where I am. And you have to go and join your principal. So, but people need to be equipped, need to be trained on strategic praying. Number three, we need to establish the prayer ministry of the church. There are some churches today that do not have a special focus on prayer, a special ministry on prayer. We may have discipleship ministry. We may have other kinds of ministry. But to have a ministry for prayer, we may just think that, well, maybe everybody will pray. We cannot leave the issue of strategic praying to chance. It's not a happenstance. It does not happen accidentally. We need to be prepared for it. We need to prepare the church for it. We need to have a special ministry for prayer. And then, just like you pump money in the social ministry, you pump money in the welfare ministry, please vote good money for prayer ministry. And you know that when it comes to social ministry, you may have more people who will flock into that because there's plenty to eat. But when it comes to the prayer ministry, people need to have the burden, the passion for it. So when you establish the prayer ministry in the church, then enlist the intercessors. Enlist them. Carefully enlist them. Yes, everyone is meant to pray in the church, but that is not strategic enough. If you want to have the strategic, you know, prayer over the local church, you must enlist people who have caught the burden. They have caught the fire. They now know that they cannot but pray. Intercessors. You know, in our church, we have all the days of the week covered with intercessors, that those who pray in the morning, that those who pray in the evening. And, you know, we keep recruiting people to join. And then the fifth one is that we should embrace technology. I'm speaking because, not just because of Ikoyi Baptist Church, I know Ikoyi is well established, but I'm speaking in terms of those of us who are leaders, who are maybe just starting, and we have a lot to do out there on the field, that we must engage or embrace technology. That we can pray virtually, and heaven will answer. Let's know that. So, our intercessors, there are some of them that maybe a particular day they only meet virtually. And there are some other days that some only meet, you know, on site. So let's embrace that. And number six, let's engage the various groups of the church to pray. Let's introduce prayer in the various groups, various meetings of the church. Let them know that whatever it is that they need to do, that they must commit to praying for the church of the living God. And number seven, we must encourage the team to be faithful and to be united. We tell people that the intercessory group is not a time that you focus on yourself. Because sometimes if you don't train them very well, they only come and be praying for one another. And the reason for their coming together, they may neglect it or just spend a little time, you know, focusing on that. So they have to be faithful and they have to be united. Because the kingdom of darkness is united. And you cannot be disorganized and you want to fight them and overcome them. Now let's look at how to pray strategically. Dr. Adeleke, since this is a seminar, I didn't ask you, would there be question time? Okay. Because it's not preaching. All right. So, how to pray strategically. Number one, we must learn to pray correctly. If you are going to pray strategically, you must learn to pray correctly. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Your prayer is not strategic if it is not anchored on the will of God. If your prayer is anchored on your feeling, it will not go far. If your prayer is anchored on what the news people are saying, it won't matter much. But your prayer must be anchored on the will of God. And then verse 15 says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So to pray correctly is to pray in the word of God. To pray correctly is to pray in the will of God. To pray correctly is to pray in the wisdom of God. To pray correctly also is to pray with the faith in the word of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him, and that he that cometh to God must know that he exists and is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So number two, to pray strategically, you must pray creatively. You must know how to pray creatively. Creative praying is calling what does not exist into existence. It is calling the visible out of the invisible. Romans chapter 4 verse 17 tells us that the God that we serve is the one that calleth those things that be not as if they were. And as his children, if we are going to pray, and our prayer will matter, and our prayer will have great effect, we must know how to call those things that be not as if they were. Mark 11:24 also tells us that when you pray, what you say also matters to what you experience at the end of the day. Number three, to pray strategically also requires us to pray courageously. To pray courageously. Because if you are not strategic, the enemy can silence you, can intimidate you. Because sometimes when the church begins to pray strategically, you may see the devil releasing all his arsenals against the church. It may appear as if the more you are praying, the more challenges, the more troubles are coming your way. And the reason why the devil is doing that is to silence you, is to weaken you, is to make you to think that your prayer does not amount to anything. But if you are going to pray through and break through, you must learn how to be courageous in the face of challenges, in the face of intimidation, in the face of, arsenals of attacks here and there. In Acts chapter 4, we saw how when the disciples were threatened, and, as it were, it was like to put them into fear, they ran into their camp and they prayed together. In the face of the threat, in the face of the opposition, they prayed and the Lord responded. They prayed. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 tells us that we need to come boldly before the throne of grace. You can't be strategic if you are still being crippled by fear. Still being crippled by fear. You need to know how to be audacious to pray strategically. So praying courageously is praying with confidence. Number four, to pray strategically is to pray consistently. To pray consistently. That Luke chapter 18, where Jesus told us about the parable that men, not few, all men, ought always to pray and not to faint. Then telling us about a widow that had a need and that went to the judge, and this judge had no fear, had no respect for God, had no respect for men. But this widow will not let the judge be. She was consistent. She was persistent until the judge had to yield to her desire. So praying consistently. Verse 7 of that chapter 18 of Luke, Jesus, while he was trying to wrap up that parable, he said something that is very vital about strategic praying. He said, if this unrighteous judge will yield to this woman's request, how much more your father, the one that you call upon day and night. Now that tells us that strategic prayer must be day and must be night. If our prayer will be strategic, it must be prayer that we engage in day and night. So utilize every available platform to pray. To pray. Number five, to pray strategically, you need to pray conscientiously. This is what I mean by being conscientious. Means leading the church to pray meticulously, to pray carefully, to pray carefully. When you read the book of Ephesians, I can't just shake myself away from the book of Ephesians because it's loaded. He has a lot to teach the church. Now, when Paul wrote that letter to the church in Ephesus, now Timothy was the pastor over that church, and at that time he was in prison when he wrote that letter. And then when in chapter 1, he began to talk about what the Lord had done. And then he now told them what his burden had been. That he had been praying for them from verse 17, 18, and 19. Number one, that the spirit of wisdom will rest upon them. Because we have a lot of foolishness in the church. That except the wisdom of God come to bear, the enemy will continue to mesmerize the church. So he said, I'm praying for you that the spirit of wisdom will rest upon you. The wisdom that is from above. The wisdom that can outwit the devil. And then he said, I'm also praying for you that the spirit of revelation will rest upon you so that you will see what you need to see. You will see correctly. You will hear what you need to hear correctly. And then number three, in the component of that prayer, he said, I'm also praying that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened so that you will know the hope of your calling, so that you also know the riches that you have because you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have a number of believers today that are in bondage unnecessarily. Why? Because they lack knowledge. They lack the understanding of what Christ has done. And the reason why some people are running from pillar to post today, running from one prayer house to another, is because, it's not because the devil is very terrible. It's because their ignorance level is terrible. Is somebody hearing me? Ignorance level is what? Terrible. You know, Isaiah chapter 5 verse 13, God himself said, my people, not the people that do not belong to him. He said, my own people, they have gone into captivity. They are in bondage. They are living in chains because they lack knowledge. They lack knowledge. And he went further to say, even their princes have been famished. Simply because there's no understanding. So I pray that through this conference, as leaders, we will gain correct understanding. And the Lord will use us to move his work forward in Jesus' name. Number six, to pray strategically, we must pray convincingly. Pray convincingly. This is praying with unshakable assurance and certainty. Unshakable assurance and certainty. When Abraham engaged with God in the place of prayer, you read Genesis chapter 18 from verse 23 as it began, you see how this man was engaging with God in the place of prayer and was convinced about what he was asking God for. And in the same way today, as believers, without your conviction in the things you are praying for, you cannot go far. You know, Isaiah 45 verse 19 said, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. In other words, when you come to God in prayer, you must come with assurance, with conviction that your prayer will not enter voicemail. Praise the Lord. Must come with conviction that this prayer matters and that it will bring things that matter to you. So if you don't have the conviction, the devil will just mesmerize you. So whatever you pray about, pray with conviction. Pray with conviction. Pray with conviction. And then finally, on strategic way to pray, pray cumulatively. Pray cumulatively. Don't pray in January and go on vacation. Know that every day counts. And as you prayed, your prayer, you know, come upon one another. And you know, just like Ecclesiastes tells us, when the cloud is full of rain, is full of the cloud, that's when the rain comes. And if we don't pray to gather, you know, the cloud, to make sure that the cloud becomes heavy, we may not see a downpour. So we must continue to pray. So when there is a united prayer, power multiplies. Let me quickly just highlight to you some benefits of praying strategically. And as I highlight that, I will focus on Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 is interesting to me because when I began, you know, the first church that I pastored, and I saw that some of them came from First Baptist Church this and that, and I realized that the approach to prayer was not strategic. I had to teach through the book of Acts chapter 12. I can't forget the message I preached first on this, when the church prays. When the church prays. Now, Acts chapter 12 reveals to us how the church can pray strategically. I know our Father in the Lord and some others have also told us of what happened when Herod first took the first leader of the church and killed him and saw that it pleased the Jews. And like our daddy in the Lord was telling us yesterday, that what happened when James was taken? Did the church truly pray? And we're told that when you don't pray well, and you don't pray well, the Bible will not record it as prayer. And that's why if our prayer will matter, we must learn to pray well. So in Acts chapter 12, we're told of how Peter was taken after James had been killed. And the plan of Herod also was to kill him. But God, first intervened by this man not killing him immediately, but taking a decision that he will kill him after the Passover. And the church woke up from her slumber. The Bible says, while Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed earnestly, passionately for him. That verse is loaded. When Peter was kept in prison, when Peter was attacked, a member of the church, when he was afflicted, when he was troubled, when he had problems, the church did not abandon him. The church prayed and prayed earnestly. See, one of the things that strategic prayer will do is that it will bring true revival to the church. True revival. Those who have been sleeping before, they will give up their sleep. They wake up. The second thing that strategic prayer will do is that it will dislodge the strategy of the enemy. Herod had his own strategy. If I eliminate James, I will eliminate Peter. After Peter, he had also penciled down others that he will eliminate one by one. But because the church prayed, that strategy was interrupted. That strategy was dislodged. So, at the place of prayer, we intercept the strategy of the devil. At the place of strategic prayer, we interfere with the strategy of the devil. At the place of strategic prayer, we interrupt satanic operations. Number three, strategic prayer will reverse satanic negativity in the church. Satanic negativity in the church. How do you explain a church where the leader was killed and the next person online was about to be killed? That's negativity. I can't forget some years ago, maybe over 10 years ago or so, I just noticed some trace of negativities in the church. And I called my pastors together and I told them, I said, this nonsense must stop. And in saying this nonsense must stop, we did not just end it with just saying it. We had to employ some strategies. I said, first, we'll be holding pastoral vigil. And we moved from pastoral vigil to having 3 days vigil. From 3 days vigil, we moved to meeting every day. And we've been doing that consistently. And nonsense has stopped. The devil wants to discredit the church. The devil wants to discredit the grace of God that is at work in the congregation. But strategic prayer will make you to say, no, this nonsense must stop. We did not only say that this nonsense must stop in the church. This nonsense must stop around the church. Because after the devil saw that he could not succeed in the church anymore, in our neighborhood, it was like people were dying one after the other. Not members of our church, but on the same street. You hear this month, somebody died in this house, another month. We said, no, this nonsense has to stop because we are the light in this place. And we have to take over the gate of the street. And to say, this negativity must stop. I remember when we had to move to the first house we lived in Lagos. The mama, an old woman, retired NEPA official. She did not want to give the house to a pastor. Why? Because every year, you know, robbers will come to that, you know, compound. They will, you know, not only rob people of properties, they will do all kinds of things. The woman was traumatized. And she said she had to fortify everywhere, but they still came. She now said she cannot take pastor because all kinds of people will be coming to the premises. And I went to her and I told her, I said, Mama, don't worry. Once we move in here, they won't come again. So what am I talking about? I said, we are pastors. When we come, they won't come again. And we lived there for 13 years. They didn't come one time until we moved out of that place. Because we had to say, this nonsense must stop. When we moved to the pastorium, the house the church bought for pastorium, one day my wife just noticed that some birds were coming as if they were coming to hold meeting every night. At first, I didn't pay attention to it. Because the way God has wired me, you know, before I gave my life to Christ, I suffered many things in the hands of witches. I suffered many things in the hands of the devil. So when the Lord saved me and gave me victory, now I try to mesmerize the devil. I tell the devil, because at that time, before I gave my life to Christ, to sleep was a terror. There was no kind of position I didn't maintain. They would tell you, in fact, that time they would tell you to put Bible under your pillow. And they would come, they would throw the Bible away. I'm not talking about in the dream. The Bible would be on the floor. And they would deal with me. So they said, okay, don't sleep like this. Or don't sleep, put your head towards the door. Okay, you understand what I'm talking about? So, but when I gave my life to Christ, and God now revealed to me that power has changed hands. And so I sleep anyhow. And I tell the devil, if you have 2 heads, you'll come. You know what will happen. So when I see all those things, I was not concerned. But I'm not one of those that will be running from cockroaches. But because I realized that it was a concern to my wife, I said, okay, you bet. This is the last day. Whatever your mission, this is the last day. This nonsense must stop. Brethren, there are a number of negativities around you that continue to perpetrate themselves because you have not stood in the place of strategic praying. When the church prayed, the negativity that Herod introduced to the church stopped. And I'm praying for someone today that as you return back to your location, whatever be the negativity in and around your location, that negativity will stop. Somebody didn't hear me. I said it will stop. Because that's what strategic prayer is meant to achieve. Strategic prayer will also attract angelic assistance. Angelic assistance. You see that in Acts chapter 12. Angelic assistance. Can I tell you that angels are at work? Angels at work? They are at work. Angels at work. Our daddy in the Lord told us how Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even when his trusted friends slept off, angel came to strengthen him. Praise the Lord. Our angels are still working, strengthening, helping, intervening in bringing about victory in the church. But that's what strategic prayer will do. We attract angelic assistance. Number five, strategic prayer will also sustain the hope of the church. The church was already losing hope when James died, was killed, and when Peter was arrested. They were also, you know, fear had taken over everyone. But after they prayed strategically and that nonsense stopped, their hope became revived. And I tell you that there are some local churches today that hope is very dash. I know of a particular congregation, they said, the young ones are not staying because once they are about to do anything significant, they will die. They will die. And it has become, that local church is known for that. And it appears as if they were not sure of what to do to stop that. Telling some of them, I said, look, you need to engage in strategic praying to make sure that people can have hope, people can have confidence in coming to church. When people are blessed and they don't want the church to know they are blessed, when people cannot give testimony in the church because of the backlash, the kind of thing that happened after testimony, that's a danger signal. And that's where we now employ this strategy. Teach you any better. I'm a shikini. I'm a forwobo. And that's not God's strategy. If your yam is good, then you need to let people know that God has done you well. God had given you help. So if you are in a church where people dare not testify, that tells you that the hope of that church is being attacked. So when the people prayed strategically, their hope became revived. And number six, hell was put in disarray. Remember what happened after God intervened? That in the council of Herod, they were running helter-skelter when they realized that Peter had escaped. They're running helter-skelter. And that's what happens when the church prays strategically. You put the host of hell in disarray to know that they can succeed elsewhere, but in and around you, they cannot succeed. And they begin to run helter-skelter because they know that their strategies will not succeed in and around you. Number seven, you know, in that Acts chapter 12, verse 24, we are told that the church grew because of that strategic prayer. There was growth in the church. There was increase in the church. And I tell you, there are some churches that Dr. Adeleke, you know, a particular church, I think it was the one that went for a revival in that church, that the pastor of the church who called him for revival was sent on a mission by an invisible force. Can you imagine now Dr. Adeleke calling us for this meeting and then you can't find him? Only to discover maybe 2-3 days later. It can't happen to him. Praise the Lord. But it happened to one pastor. They sent him on assignment. There are people that the enemy will limit, but there are also churches that the devil will limit. When the church engages in strategic prayers, they cannot be limited. The church cannot be limited. So my brothers, I'd like to let you know that the work of God in your hand will not be limited. If you know how to pray strategically. And so I believe that this conference is meant to equip you, to train you, to teach you, so that when you go back to where you have come from, you will employ strategic prayer for the church. So question and answer. All right. I'm done. Question and answer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If you are putting your hands together, do it very well to the glory of God. We have just experienced a very loaded teaching session. We would like to entertain some few questions in any area of clarity that we desire to know. Please just show by raise of hand. One, yes. Two going. Three. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir. Very loaded. I've learned a lot, and I'm going to start applying it. But as soon as I finished writing my notes, the first thing that came to my head was, I'll ask you, you've taught us how to pray strategically. Maybe you come and teach us how to praise strategically. So that's just a comment. It's not really a question, but so that's what just came to me.
Strategic praise. All right. That's another subject matter. But this one is praying strategically. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for the time to come and share with us, sir. You're welcome, sir. My question is that since we are discussing our prayers in our Father's house and strategic prayers, to what extent is night vigil that I heard you say it, that was shared in some groups in order to achieve your aim? To what extent is it a benefit to the church? And from what time to what time can this night vigil be, you know, proceeded?
All right, thank you. You know, I refer to Luke chapter 18 as a strategic, you know, prayer. And I cited verse 7 that Jesus talked about. Can we have Luke 18 verse 7? Luke 18 verse 7. That scripture, let me read from my text. And I said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and evening? I'm asking us. Day and evening. Eh? I hope you know there is a difference between evening and night. Because for many years, the Baptist churches limited themselves to evening prayer. And that was why when some people started the issue of night prayer, they said it was not Baptistic. They started attacking it. I hope you don't have stick, that kind of stick in the Kui Baptist Church. Eh? All right. I know that Dr. Lake will not allow the stick. I recall when I was serving, you know, NYC, and I sat with the student ministry. And I had to go from place to place appealing to pastors then who had sent out the students from the church. And what was their offense? They were doing night vigil. And I was asking them, what is the problem with night vigil? They said they are bringing strange doctrines. I said, strange doctrine, it is in the Bible. If the master of the church, the head of the church, prayed all night, Abba, are we more Catholic than the Pope? But that was the problem, because eyes were not open. Jesus said, please look at that scripture again. And shall not God avenge his own elect? We cry day and what? Day and what? So if your own prayer is day prayer, there are some powers that work in the night that will cage you, that will limit you, that will prevent you from being all that God wants you to be. You know, our father in the Lord told us yesterday that he was asking a question, a rhetorical question. Why is it that some promises are still hanging? Why is it that some prophecies are still hanging? Because there are some of them that you need to download in the night hour, the night season. Are you hearing me? Night season. Because the principalities we are fighting, they utilize the night very well. And if you are not strategically positioned, do you know that when you look at creation, you will see that God began with the issue of night and day. Because it is the night that rules the day, not the other way around. Is somebody hearing me? It is the night that does what? That rules the day. So when the enemy has concluded all his works in the night, and then you wake up in the day, you are trying to battle with that, you have lost some ground. So my brother, night vigil is scriptural. And from what time to what time, you can decide. If it's going to be from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., going to be from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. or 4 a.m., it all depends. All right. You do night vigil here. Eh? Before. Till when? Nobody's talking. They will not come. So you see half stick here, Baptistic stick. How many of you see half the stick? Can you raise it up? Can you raise it up? I'm not seeing any stick being raised up. So night vigil is part of strategic prayer. Jesus said, day and what? Night. Day and night. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thanks, sir. Still on the subject matter, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Still on this issue of the vigil. In the case whereby the association, the community, the chairman has been informed and now summoned the pastor that they should not be allowed for any vigil here. And now the chairman was now trying to be maybe begging or mandating the pastor to stop such. What is the way forward?
All right.
That's one. Two, concerning our COVID-19, our leaders were asking
you still have COVID?
It's no more now.
Okay.
But that happened then, and no church was maybe daring the instruction given that churches
meeting. Yeah.
Should stop some things. What can Christians or Church of God do in case of future occurrences?
You want COVID again? All right. I think the first thing is that, you see, we must understand that the spiritual rules the physical. If there's a man in your neighborhood that is opposed, maybe the chairman of the association of landlords is the one that is actually representing the devil, but you don't know, and then mobilize everybody to make sure that there will be no night vigil, because he knows that once there's night vigil, their work will be spoiled. Now, you don't first contest it in the physical. You contest it in the spiritual. There is somebody that is sponsoring him. You need to take care of that somebody. And you need to dislodge the power. And God knows how to orchestrate things that will make them to know that they need prayer. So that's one. Number two is we must also understand that it is not until you shout for the neighbors to hear you before you can do vigil. Are you getting the point? Now, if they are against you doing vigil in the church premises, they can do vigil in your pastorium. And once you pray and pray in your pastorium, that prayer will now affect other areas. And then you can move to the church premises. That's the first one. The second one is the issue of what do we do? You see, the plan of the enemy is nothing but fear. Thank God my wife is here. And this COVID, when it came, there was fear everywhere. But all my pastors, we were still praying every night without using nose masks. We were still eating our amala together. The thing that was creeping them, because sometimes it is knowledge that cripple people. I'm not talking about spiritual knowledge, yo. We were still praying for some of them that COVID will take up and land them in the hospital. We still go there and pray for them. We were eating amala, we were doing everything because we gain knowledge. Are you hearing me? We gain knowledge. And I remember when I traveled, you know, was it 2021? And my host, the wife, caught COVID. I was talking about, you know, we not want to transfer the COVID, not want to prepare for it. I said, don't worry, we'll prepare food that we'll eat. And I was eating the food I was enjoying. I ate all through the time I stayed there. And I came back. Because what is on the inside is more than the devil that is on the outside. When it's a little children, don't be given to fear, because greater is he that is in you than he. COVID is in the world. And the one who is least here is greater. I know I'm talking to a enlightened congregation, but I'm talking from another realm. All right. I thought I mentioned, there are a number of benefits, but I remember that I mentioned seven, but I was told that I forgot one. I said, strategic prayer will bring revival to the church. Strategic prayer will dislodge satanic strategy. Strategic prayer will reverse negativity, satanic negativity in the church. Satanic prayer will attract angelic assistance. Strategic prayer, we sustain the hope of the church. Strategic prayer, we put hell in disarray. Strategic prayer will lead to all-round church growth. Are they not seven? All right. So, online question.
We have some questions online, and there is a pastor there that is also raising up his hands. Sir? Okay, no more questions. Okay, pastor said no more questions. Okay. He said, thank you, sir, for the teaching. Please, how do we pray consistently day and night? Is it for every day? Then the second one is, where members are not available for strategic prayers, what can be done to encourage them, sir? The third one, what can we call Anna's kind of prayer? Is that also strategic?
All right. The first one is talking about when it comes to the issue of praying day and night, how feasible is that? Like I told us that in our church, for example, we have intercessors that cover the entire days of the week. And some meet virtually, some meet, you know, physically. And those who meet virtually, they agree on the time that is convenient for them. We didn't give them time. What we want them to do is to make sure you pray. Those who meet physically, they also agree. And they are committed to it. They've been consistent on that. So once there is a will, there will be a way. Once the people see that this thing is very needful, they'll be committed to it. And so when it comes to the issue of Anna prayer, you know, I was talking about the prayer of importunity, the prayer that when Anna had a burden, and that burden took away her desire for food, took away every other thing that seems to be, you know, distracting. She put all of those aside and focused intensely on her prayer to the point that it was a prayer that she was groaning that her words were not heard. Eli thought that she was drunk because only a drunkard will be doing some gibberish thing without saying things that are coherent. At that time, maybe it was the first pre-baptism of the Holy Ghost that happened to Anna before the Holy Ghost came in the Pentecost day. But let us know that when it comes to the issue of strategic praying, when we're talking about prayer consistently, and if a church has a burden, until you see the result, you will not stop, you will not keep quiet, you will not give up until, you know, the result comes. Let's rise up on our feet. The church is marching on, marching on. The church is marching on, marching on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on, marching on. The church is marching on, marching on. The church is marching on, marching on. The gates of hell shall not prevail. The church is marching on. Please, as you stand up to pray, can I announce to you that when Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, it was a universal declaration. It was a declaration for the universal church. Can I announce to you that gates of hell are prevailing against local churches? Is somebody hearing me? Now, the church in Ephesus that Paul taught how to pray, somewhere along the line, they lost the steam. Somewhere along the line, they lost the strategy. And Paul was grieved. And later on in life, John, the beloved, was sent to that church. That church that used to be on fire, that church has lost the fire. And Jesus said, they have lost their first love. They need to repent. How many of you know the story? Revelation chapter 2. Is that church? Now, it was another warning. After that, they still refuse to wake up. That church is no more today. Is somebody hearing me? Gates of hell can still prevail over local churches. But the body of Christ, Jesus said, I will build that body. The gates of hell cannot prevail. There are local churches that have been sacked. There are local churches that used to have people before. They are empty now because the gates of hell have sacked the people. Are you hearing me? There's one scripture that have not left me. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in this church, I am the light of this church. Satan will not succeed. I think every one of us can take that position today. Say, my Father, my Father. You didn't hear me. Say, my Father, my Father. I make myself available unto you, Jesus. I am the light of the church where you have planted me. And as long as I'm in that church, darkness will not prevail. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray.
Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. As long as I'm the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. Kalibra katala bashite kepotea. Lebra katala badide lebolia. Shara katalibro taria. Zalebra katala badia. Share kepodia andalia. Andala basotaria. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There are some of us that need to leave this conference with holy anger. That as we go back, we say, you need to go and announce to those principalities and powers that before I didn't know, now I know. Whatever nonsense you have been doing around this church has to stop. Are you hearing me? Somebody need to pray, say, my father, the fire that I have received at this conference shall not be quenched in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. This fire will not be snuffed out, will not be quenched, will not be snuffed out, will not be quenched in the name of Jesus, will not be quenched, will not be snuffed out. Kalibra kata libro kata ika patali bro kataya shalapakata ideke poria balabra kata ika palagadalaba sharaka paligedele bozodia andalaba sutalia gadia shalabra katalada gadia. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You see, one of the things about strategic prayer is that it reverses negativity. It does what? It reverses negativity. Maybe in this place of prayer this morning, that some of you need to have a testimony that as I go back, the negativity I left, I'm not going to meet it anymore. The negativity I left in the location where the church is, the negativity I left in my family, I'm not going to meet it anymore. Lift your right hand to heaven. Say, my father, from this morning, I decree and declare no more negativity in and around my life, no more negativity in and around the church where you have planted me. No more negativity, no more negativity, no more negativity. Go ahead and begin to reverse every negativity. Reverse it in the name of Jesus. Reverse it in the name of Jesus. If there are nonsense that need to stop, I want to begin to decree, let the nonsense stop. Let the nonsense stop. Ikaparia. Satan will no longer advance with his negativity. Satan will no longer advance with his negativity. Lebra katalabaragadia. Maragadalaba shataligedia. Zalebra katalaba sotaria. Lebra katalabadia. Ragadalaba shatakata. Ilebra katalabradia. Zalebro kotoli gragadalaba sota. Ilebra katalabadia. Shalagadalaba sotaria. Andeleboria bashataria. Akalabra takata. Ilebrandia. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, Mordecai sent a message to Esther. He said, you need to know that you are there for such a time like this. If you don't rise, if you don't arise, help will still come, but it will come from another quarter. We need to pray. Say, my father, don't bypass me in this program of reviving your church, of restoring your church, of revitalizing your church. Don't bypass me, oh Lord. 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 Use me, oh Lord. Kalibra katalia baria. I am there for such a time like this. I am in that church for such a time like this. I'm in that locality for such a time like this. Lebra kata. Don't bypass me. 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 Lebra kata la badiketeria. Sharaka talia. Rekepondia. Zelebraka. Elebra katalabadia. Rakatalia ndeleboshata. Alebra kata librokata. Indelebra katalia ndiabashata. Andelebosuta. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say, Father, as your church, whatever we command to go, from today, we obey us. Whatever we command to come, from today, we obey us. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and begin to pray. Whatever we command to go, we go. Whatever we command to come, we come. Lebra kata liboria, zalebra kata, ideke pondia, malebra kata, idelebra gada. Sharakapania, Ekepodia, Balakatalia, Arakapala Gadalabashataria, Zelebra Kataria, Ekepodia Basata. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. True strategic prayer, the church sack Herod. Did you hear me? True strategic prayer, the church sacked the troubler of the church. I want you to know there are still a lot of Herod here and there troubling the church. Lift up your right hand. Say, my father, every troubler of your church where I am situated, from this morning, I issue a decree, I issue a sack letter over such Herod. Oh, you Herod, troubling the local church where God has planted me. Right now, I sack you. I sack you. I sack you in the name of Jesus. I sack you, Malebra Kata. I sack you from your place of operation. I sack you, Ekapadia de Kepota, Ilebra Katalia. I sack you. I sack you. I sack you, Ilebra Tolia, Sharaka Pandia, Lebruka Talia, Zulebra Kata, Ideketelia, Sharagadalaba, Ekapalagada, Mareke Poligadia Bashata, Idea La Prande de Lebodia. Zalebra kata librotoria, sheke ponde diabalia, ikata la balia, ikaponde de leboria, zulebra didala bakontalia, sharande leboria. In Jesus' name we pray. I know we'll still have more opportunity to pray, but we can lift up our hands to Him. Father, this morning we want to thank you for keeping us alive. It is not for us to just eat and drink. It is for us to serve your purpose. And one of those dimensions of your purpose is for us to be the light where you have kept us, so that darkness will not continue to reign. Therefore, Lord, we ask that all that you are doing in this conference will cause our light to truly shine, that darkness will no longer reign in and around us. Lord, we pray that the strategic prayer that we need to employ in the local churches where you have planted us, Father, from this conference, I ask that, Lord, your hand will be mighty upon us, that our churches will begin to pray strategically. Our prayers will yield results. Our prayers will stop negativity. Our prayers will sack the host of hell. Our prayers will cause your church to grow. Our prayers, oh God, will cause your name to be glorified. Father, we ask, oh God, that you will not leave us until you have fulfilled this purpose in us and through us, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the great investment into the kingdom that you are using Ikoyi Baptist Church to do. Lord, I ask that this church will not be weary. This church will not be tired. We pray for Ikoyi Baptist Church that the gates of hell will not stop this work. Lord, this is a great movement, not only for this local church and all the churches connected. It's a great movement that will affect churches all over the world. I'm asking, oh God, that this movement, the gates of hell, will not stop it. Lord, if there's anyone in Ikoyi Baptist Church that does not have understanding, whatever the veil is, let the veil be taken away. Let the light of God so shine. Let Ikoyi Baptist Church be united together for this cause. Lord, continue to cause your hand to be mighty upon your servant and upon all those who are lifting up his hand. I pray that Ikoyi Baptist Church will move from glory to glory. And Lord God Almighty, at the end of the day, you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, the reward that is due Ikoyi Baptist Church will be given to her. Keep encouraging your church. Glory and honor be to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 1-800-663-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.